If it weren't fun, people wouldn't be doing it. There is a phase in which sin is fun. There is a phase in which you're having a blast. There is a phase like that.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Job. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. As always, it's so good to join you in your car, in your house, in your kitchen, wherever you may be listening to this radio program. I love technology. It takes us right to where you're at. We have some exciting things happening. We've been praying. We have thousands of people that have been fasting and praying for God to move in Chicago. And among one of the things that we've been praying for is three launches of congregations in the Chicagoland area. We are starting New Life Elgin, which is our 24th location. We are starting New Life Hobart, which is in northern Indiana. And we are relaunching New Life Berwyn. So if you want more information about one of those locations, what time they meet, and how you can be a part of the launching or starting of those locations, please visit our website at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. God bless you. Keep praying for this great city of ours.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Let's jump right into the second half of Pastor Mark's message tonight. It's called The Wake-Up Call, and it continues to be from his series Like No Other. Our text will be continuing in the book of Luke, chapter 7. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
All you hear is, no, it's terrible. We hear it in the church, and it is terrible. But, you know, if it weren't fun, people wouldn't be doing it. There is a phase in which sin is fun. There is a phase in which you're having a blast. There is a phase when you leave the Father's house that you say, I should have done this a long time ago. Man, am I having fun. I'm going to plaster it all over Facebook and Twitter and Instagram how much fun I'm having. And every picture I take is going to be party, hearty, happy. I'm with my friends. I'm having fun. I'm popular. I have money. I have no rules. You start thinking, wow, this is so great. I can do it. No one's judging me. No one's putting me in a box. I can do what I want, say what I want. I can be my own person. I am free. There is a phase like that. There is a phase at the beginning of an affair that you feel like, oh, this is so good. This is the kind of love and passion I've been wanting for a long time. There's a phase at the beginning of addiction where you say, man, this makes me feel so good. I should have done this a long time ago. Man, this is a new high that I'm experiencing. There is a phase when you walk away from God that you may expect it like, oh, there's going to be lightning from heaven and something's going to fall from heaven and I feel a little guilty, but then you start feeling, hey, nothing's happening. I'm free. I should have done this. I don't belong in the church. I don't belong in the house of God because look how much fun I'm having. There's a phase at the beginning stages of every walk away from God where it's fun. Enjoyable, pleasurable. It feels like this is so right without having to worry about how I'm living. It's the illusion. It's the illusion of fulfillment. I've had conversations with people, but here's what I understand. That when people are in the illusion of fulfillment, I don't bother talking to them because I could say whatever I want and they're going to think I'm having so much fun. This is the right thing. I feel so free. And here's what I know in the back of my head. The bubble will burst. I'm going to wait a while till the bubble burst. How many of you know the bubble always burst? I remember sitting in my office with a couple. She had left her husband to go with a guy, and she was just telling me how wonderful it was and how awesome this new guy was, and her husband was just an old, well, he was nothing compared to this guy, and her heart was alive and creative and passionate, and she was feeling everything she hadn't felt in decades, and it was the right thing, and if she felt so good, how could it not be God? Doesn't God want me to be happy? Oh, I could preach a whole sermon on that. Listen, God's goal is not to make you happy. It never promised in Scripture, my goal is to make you happy. No, that God never said, I'm going to try to make you happy. I believe ultimately the greatest fulfillment is when we live for God, but sometimes it's tough. And she was telling me how good it was, how right it was, how she felt God was in it, and God led her to this man to leave her husband, have an affair, and it was God. The Bible calls about the deceitfulness of sin. I remember sitting in that meeting and she was just telling me all this, holding her boyfriend's hand and trying to get my approval from it. I get the weirdest things that people try to get my approval from. Pastor, would you pray for us that our relationship would work out? Well, I'm not going to pray that your relationship would. You just left your husband. And I remember sitting, and I've done this multiple times, saying, you know, the bubble will burst. I give you 6 months. Sure enough, in 6 months, he wasn't what I thought it was. He tricked me. No, he didn't trick you. He just started living with you. How many of you know it's easy to love someone when you just sleep with them on the weekend? Now try to live with them in their dirty laundry and their messes and their cantankerous attitude and deal with them when they're not all made up and just ready for you. That's what her husband had to live with for 10 years. But there's always the phase that it seems like it's the right thing phase. It's the, hey, I'm having fun phase. I'm doing my thing phase. And this guy was doing his thing. But verse 14 says, after he had spent everything, then there was a severe famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. I want to tell you something about this. Listen, I believe when we start walking away from God, sometimes we're still living on the grace of God. We're still living off of the good things that God has put into our life. We're still living off the shadow of his grace. But a time comes when you walk away that you run out of the good things of God. And now you start reaping the seeds of the bad sowing that you've made. And a time will come, I don't know if it's 6 months, 9 months, a year, but a time will come when you start reaping the bad seeds that you are sowing and the consequences start hitting you. Suddenly this guy who is living the party life, he ran out of money. And to exasperate the situation, there was a famine in the land. Listen, in the do my own thing phase, there will always be at the end of the bubble an emptiness. You cannot ultimately be satisfied apart from your relationship with God the Father. There is no such thing as ultimate satisfaction without a connection with your Creator. Remember that. There's illusions of satisfaction. There's temporary fulfillment, but not the deep-seated satisfying of the soul that can only come when you connect with God, the Father who created you, made you, knows you, engineered you, and experiences powerful love. Stage number three, it's the not working out phase. And I'm not talking about the gym not working out. I'm talking about, hey, this walking away is not working out. The Bible says, in verse 15, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Listen, the day will come when the illusion starts to fall apart and there will be left with emptiness in his soul. And when you start experiencing the emptiness in your soul, you refuse to go back to God because you think, no way am I going back there because I'm already down this course and I'm not going back there again. And so you attach yourself to someone else to try to meet your need. And that's when people get in these horrible, dysfunctional, abusive, oftentimes needy relationships because you substitute someone else for what only God can give you. When you start running into the empty phase, you're going to look for someone else to fill what God can only give you. It may be your boyfriend. It may be a girlfriend. It may be a group of people. It may be an affair.
but you want someone else to fill the hollowness inside of your soul that really only God can fill. This man attached himself to someone because he was in need. He attached himself to someone who had something to give him. And this guy that had something to give him was a pig farmer. And what happens when you attach yourself to someone who is not God, they will ultimately become your master, and you will end up eating pig food ultimately in your prodigal journey. You will end up doing things that you never thought you could do. You will end up going to places, low places that you never thought morally you would go. You end up dragging yourself down to places that you never thought you would go, finding lows and putting yourself into situations that when you were walking with God, you would think, no, I'll never do that. I would never go there. That would never be me. And you find yourself in those places because there's an emptiness of your soul, because the illusion has broken, because you still need your soul to be filled. This man was a Jewish man. He hated it. It was unclean to be around pig food. Yet he was looking to, desired to eat pig food. Sin always leads us to something other than God to master our life. Number four, fourth phase, the coming to our senses phase. Oh, I love this verse. When he came to his senses. It's like he's been under a spell and he wakes up. It's like suddenly he hits the rumbler on the side of the road and he jerks awake. There's something in his life that wakes him up. Now, sometimes we have to go a long time in the it's not working out phase. Some of you have been in that phase for years. It's not working out. It's not working out. It's not working out. And you stay there. It's awakening of the soul. It's a breaking through of the spirit. It's a brokenness that has to come. It's the realization that how I'm living is not working. It's the understanding that I've made my own mess and that there's another way. It's a point and place that we come to that says, I've been living this way for a long time, but I don't want to keep living this way. I'm ready to change. It's the wake-up call. Now, you don't always have to reach the bottom of the barrel to receive a wake-up call. I've known people living under a bridge that are toothless and still addicted to drugs, and they never wake up.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk message entitled The Wake Up Call, which is from Pastor Mark's radio series called Like No Other. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Luke chapter 7. Tonight's Straight Talk is called The Wake Up Call.
But I believe it's a condition of the heart that we start to wake up. And it says, and when he came to his senses, this is a reality check. This is the wake up. What wakes him up? The illusion starts to come to an end. He begins to reap the consequences of his lifestyle. He starts experiencing unfulfilled needs. He sinks to a new low in satisfying his needs. He begins to compare what he could have and what he currently has. The moment he comes to his senses, listen to this, I love this, he starts thinking about the road back home. See, I know you haven't come to your senses unless you're starting to think about how you can come back home to God. If you're still thinking about how you could live your life and make it work, then you haven't come to your senses. I know you've come to your senses when you realize this isn't working. I'm not going to try to make it work. I need to go back to God. That's when you wake up. Some of you are still trying, no, give me some more time. I can figure it out. You haven't come to your senses yet. When he came to his senses, it's like the spell was broke. It's like the wake up happened. Have you ever come to your senses about something?
Has that ever happened? Have you ever been in a bad relationship and everybody around you knows it? Your mother, your brother, your sister, your cousin, and the postman knows it. And you're like, no, he's a nice guy, really. Everybody judges him. No, he just hit me because, you know, he's just having a bad day. And he calls me names because, you know, his dad did it. And, you know, he's really not that bad. And, you know, I know he's got a couple of arrest records against him. I know he's facing trial right now. I know he doesn't have a job. I know he lives in the basement with his mother. But inside, he's got a great, great heart. I think he could be a good guy someday. And people are like, what is wrong with you? And then one day you come to your senses. You just like wake up and say, what was I thinking? Well, the problem is you weren't thinking. What was I thinking? And you wake up. It's this wake-up call. He came to his senses, which leads to phase number 5. It's the shame and guilt phase. And when he came to his senses, verse 18, he said, he starts talking to himself and he says, I will set out and I will go back to my father and I will say to him, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. And so he got up and he started back to his father. Now, here's what I want you to understand this very well. Listen to me. This is huge that you grasp this. If you're on the way to a wake-up call, there's a big difference between shame and guilt and conviction. The enemy will use shame and guilt to keep you away from the Father. The Holy Spirit will use conviction to drive you to the Father. You say, well, what's the difference? Both of them feel terrible. When you're under conviction, you feel terrible. When you have guilt and shame, you feel terrible. One pushes you to God. The other one pushes you away from God. If you are moving away from God, it's shame and guilt. If you are moving towards God and feel the impulse towards God, it's the Holy Spirit of conviction. Conviction says that's not you. Leave it. Come to who you really are. Shame and guilt says, you lousy, dirty, rotten individual. You don't belong in God. You're a hypocrite if you go back to God. You should stay away from God. Don't go in that direction. One talks about who you are and puts you down, and the other pushes you to become a better person, who you've been called to be in God. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's God driving you to change. That's God saying, you are my son. You're not destined to live that way. That's conviction. Never confuse the two. Some of you have been under shame and guilt, and you think it's God, when really it's the enemy driving you away from who God is. What keeps the prodigal away? A false sense of temporary fulfillment, a feeling of full consequences, not feeling the full consequences of their decision, doubt of whether they would even fit in again, pride, it's hard to admit that they were wrong, fear that maybe God and others would not accept them. And so he practices his speech, I have sinned, I'm not worthy, don't call me your son, I want to go back. He's practicing his speech of repentance. I want to tell you something. This is so powerful. Have you ever practiced a speech of I'm dirt and nothing and I'm terrible and I've messed up, and you practice it and you rehearse it, and when you go to deliver it, you only get halfway through and grace breaks in and says stop, because the person shows grace to you. The last phase in 6th phase is the restoration phase. So he practices his speech. I don't know how long he's been away from the Father. He's dirty. He's broken. He's thin. He smells like pig. I know there's a lot of pig farmers here today. I don't know. Maybe some of you are. I don't know. But if you've been around pigs, you ever driven through Iowa? First of all, try to stay awake.
because it's all flat. But what will wake you up is when you drive past a pig farm. And suddenly, ooh, whoa, what hit us there? Pigs have this distinct, very bad odor. He's smelling like a pig walking home. I want you to hear me well. I'm closing this up, but I hope I can convey this to you. The Bible says while he was still a long way off, the Father sees him. What does that mean? It means that every day the Father's been looking for him. That every day the Father walks the perimeters of his ground and he's looking for the figure of the lost son. That every day the Father's looking where the son left and he's saying, oh, son, I hope you're okay. Son, I want you to come back. And so the Father sees him at a distance. He's looking for him. And the Bible says the Father is filled with compassion for him. And he doesn't wait there with his arms crossed saying, I want you to beg. I want you to grovel. I want you to say how bad you are and how nasty you have been because you have hurt and damaged me and this household and your brother. No, he doesn't say that. The Bible says that he's filled with compassion. And listen to me. And he runs to his son. Here's the old man. This is Jesus saying, I want you to understand the Father. Here's the old man running, tears streaming down his face, arms wide open to his son, the prodigal, who has hurt him, knifed him, insulted him, taken all that was his, snubbed him, disregarded his counsel, acted as if he weren't existing, yet he runs to his son. And when he finds his son, finally the son practices the speech that he has. And he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father quiets him and says, quick, bring the best robe. Put it on him. Put the ring on his finger, the sandals on his feet. Bring out the fat of calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine who was dead is alive again. He was lost and now my son is found. It's the heart of the Father. Oh, I hope I could convey that to you. It's the Father saying, I'm opening up my arms. This is where you belong. Come back home. Amen. But the story doesn't end there. Because there's an older son. You see, this is a story of two prodigals. It's the prodigal who left and the prodigal who stayed. Meanwhile, the older son was out in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music, the dancing. He called one of the servants, asked what was going on. He says, your brother has come. He replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. There's two prodigals in this story. There's a prodigal that left. And listen to me, there's a prodigal that stayed. How many of you know you can be a prodigal in the house of God? Well, I'm not talking about just you leave God. I'm talking about you're here, but your heart is really not with the Father. Oh, you don't have to go out there and live a wild lifestyle to be far from God. You can be in the house of God. And yet your heart can have strayed so far from the heart of the Father. That when you see someone else that's gone out there, you look at them and you are angry. The father finally approaches the older son and says, hey, everything that I have has been yours. I've celebrated with you. But you see, his heart wasn't with the Father. And the son that walked away was with the father as well. There were two prodigals in this story.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Like No Other. And tonight was the second half of his message called The Wake Up Call. Join us again tomorrow as we start part 5, Breaking the Ceilings. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJob.com. That's PastorMarkJob.com. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs can be sent for only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, Unstuck, is also available for $10 plus shipping. If you are looking to visit a church on Sunday, we invite you to check out some of our new locations. There's New Life Elgin, New Life Hobart in Indiana, and New Life Berwyn. Log on to our website at newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org for more information. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks again for listening. Please do join us again tomorrow. Have a great night, and God bless.